Emmanuel, God with us. So, there was a blind man sitting by the road. It was a dark time in the history of the world. We didn't have BC and AD yet because it hadn't been established officially. It all revolves around Jesus. But this blind man was sitting by the road and he was begging, hoping somebody would give him enough finances to get through the day. And then Jesus came and he gave him his sight. And his whole world was changed. Or there was a funeral procession going on one day. And a mother had said goodbye to her only son. And they were on the way for the burial. It was a sad day. It was a hopeless day for this lady. And then Jesus came. And he brought the young man back to life and presented him to his mother, alive and well. And there were a bunch of guys out in a boat on a stormy sea. And they knew how to handle the storm because they were professionals. But the storm was so overwhelming that they knew they were in trouble. It was beyond what a human could control. And in their most fearful moment, they saw something that they thought was a ghost. But it was Jesus. And then Jesus came. And he rebuked the storm and everything was calm. And then there was another time when there was this woman and she got caught in the act of adultery, which in her culture qualified her to be stoned to death. And she was brought before Jesus, and in all of her humility, with Jesus there, she received forgiveness, freedom, and was told, don't do this anymore. Live the way you're supposed to. All because of Jesus. And then you remember that time there were these demon-possessed guys, and the counterfeit God had such control of them that they were out of control themselves. And people were afraid of them. And they would hurt you if you weren't careful. They were beyond human control. Then Jesus came. And he rebuked the demons. And they left. And the men were healthy and clear minds and able to do life in society. And then there was that tax collector, and it actually happened with two different men. And these guys had the responsibility to collect taxes for the Romans, but they would go way beyond that, and they would gouge the people, they would cheat the people. And they became wealthy in the process, and on two different occasions, as they're in the middle of their unfortunate lifestyle, Jesus came. He changed their life. And all of a sudden, they're giving back to people that they had cheated and living a life that you would want for your neighbor. Oh, and then we could never overlook that man named Lazarus who got sick and died. And he had been in the grave 4 days. And his sisters are still mourning his loss and dealing with what we all deal with when death comes. And then Jesus came and he stood in front of that tomb and he called him by name, Lazarus, come forth. And he walked out healthy and put together and ready to have dinner with them. When Jesus comes, it makes a difference. When Jesus enters a scene, when Jesus comes to a life, regardless of the challenge that that life has, it makes a difference. Because Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel. The songwriter said, when Jesus comes, the tempter, that's the devil, his power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. Jesus takes the gloom and fills your life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So put in your notes, the Bible offers various words to describe Messiah Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 gives him some titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Titles that could only be connected to Creator God are prophesied to be the titles of the coming Messiah, Jesus, who we either believe is truly God in human flesh, or we might as well deny everything that the Bible says about life and hope. If he's not God, then he's a phony. But he is God. And then Isaiah 14 connects with Matthew 21:23 and calls him Emmanuel. The title means God with us, or literally with us, he is God. A powerful statement to Jesus' deity. And so we have this story of the human race in that wonderful book, the Bible, and it starts in the beginning, God, and it ends at the other end of the book that God is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And in between that is the story of humans and this God, this creator God, wanting to have a relationship with his highest of creation, you, me, the human race. And so he wants to enjoy being with us. Have you pondered that recently? Do we think enough about what it means that the creator of the universe wants to be with us? Most of us, if we've lived a few years, have had the experience of knowing somebody who apparently really likes to be with us. And we with that person. And that's an amazing relationship. And we probably also have had the experience where we thought we would really like to be friends in a close relationship with somebody, and they don't seem to want to be with us. And that can be painful. I think as we mature, we get over some of that. But as young people, that's a big issue. And so to think about the fact that Creator God wants to be with us. Us? Humans? Humans that historically, as a race, as a group, has demonstrated a lack of desire to be with God over and over again, and never any more prevalent than now on planet Earth. But he wants to be with us. So I thought back through the Old Testament, some of the key events and characters, and I wondered, did people historically feel the personal presence of God? Has that ever been a life experience? Because when Jesus came, he offered that. Those men that followed him around for 3 years, they experienced the personal presence of God. I don't think they realized it most of the time. I think it was after Jesus went back to heaven that they realized what they had been enjoying and experiencing for those 3 years. And then God in the person of the Holy Spirit indwelt them, and then they really understood it. But historically, have people had that privilege? I thought about in the garden, and I believe Adam and Eve enjoyed the personal presence of God until they listened to the counterfeit God and ignored Creator God. Sin came into the human race and drove a wedge in the relationship between Creator God and humans. So I think for a little while, Adam and Eve thoroughly experienced and enjoyed God with them, because he was with them. There was no barrier. There was no distraction. There was nothing to clutter up the relationship. Until counterfeit God got involved and they listened to him, and the relationship was broken. There's a few incidents then in history where a few people seem to get to enjoy God with them. I thought about Enoch. And in the midst of a world that was really giving itself away to sin and the devil, and eventually would experience the flood, that God would clean up the whole mess and start over, there was Enoch, who walked with God. And apparently the relationship was so good that God just took him home. I think he had some understanding of God with Enoch. And Abraham must have had some of that, because he was a pretty lonely guy in terms of respect for Creator God. And God picked him out of all the other people groups and said, I'll make of you a great nation. And through you, I'll bless everybody. And they talked together. They met together. God directed them. So I think to some degree, Abraham probably experienced God with Abraham. And certainly Moses had some of that. And God said about Moses, there's never been anybody that I've had a relationship with like I have with Moses. We talk face to face. I have no idea what that means, because God doesn't have a face and you can't look on him. But somehow in their relationship, that works out. So I think Moses had times when he really experienced God with Moses. And you think of the tabernacle, and when the most holy place had either a fire over it at night or a cloud over in the daytime, people knew that God was there, but did they really feel a personal presence? It was an awareness that God was there, maybe a fearful awareness, maybe the appreciation of the fact that he was leading them, but an indwelling sense of the presence of God. I don't think most of the Israelites experienced that. And even David, who God said was a man after his own heart, certainly didn't have a continual experience of God with us. So I wonder then, did Joseph, husband of Mary, who was given the verse that was read earlier, did he really understand the significance of Emmanuel? You remember Mary being engaged to Joseph, a relationship that was as binding as marriage, shows up carrying a baby, and Joseph knew he wasn't the father. That's a drip. Is it thundering out there? See, if I move that over a little bit, it'll hit the paper. It hasn't rained for a day, but the water gathers up there and then it comes down. Isn't that nice? Pray for our facilities, guys. They've been fighting this for years. Is that annoying? It just needs another towel on it, that's all. Here, put some of these on it. And so Joseph, being a godly man, who I think was experiencing something of the presence of God. Thank you, sir. He decides to treat Mary in the kindest way that he could. And then the angel comes and says, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Mary, the baby that's in Mary's womb, is God with us. Emmanuel. Wonder how much he understood of that. He was obedient, so he did what he needed to do, and he did it well. I don't know how much he understood. And how should followers of Jesus today understand Emmanuel? How should you understand it? How should I understand it? I don't think the disciples who walked with Jesus really understood it until later. And in what way should Emmanuel influence followers of Jesus in the routine of life? How much do we understand about God with us? It's a great question to ponder. I have to ask myself, were my good decisions and not so good decisions this past week, were they related to Emmanuel influence? When I made good decisions, was it because I was thinking God with me? When I had thoughts or decisions that weren't so good, was it because I kind of tuned out Emmanuel, God with me? How much impact does that really have? And as we come to the table in a few minutes, I think it's important to connect Emmanuel to Jesus' directive, remember me. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus was walking the planet and training his disciples and on his way to the cross to die to be our Savior and to live to be our eternal Savior, that one day he really offended everybody when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part in me. That's disgusting, if you take it literally. But if you understand the principle he was saying, wasn't he really saying, unless you take me into your life and let me become who I am in you, then you can't have any part in me. That makes sense. And we will take communion today and we will eat a piece of bread and we will remember that it represents the body of Jesus that carried our sin, mine and yours, and we will drink that cup of grape juice, and we will remember that it represents the blood of Jesus that washed away our sin, mine and yours, and in a very real sense, symbolically, we will be taking into our life, in memory and in commitment, God with us. Most people relate differently to a friend or an enemy if they're in our presence than we do when they're not. With us makes a difference, doesn't it? With us makes a difference. The things that we say about people that are very positive, complimentary things that we say, are very appropriate and very uplifting. But if we have the privilege of saying those things in the presence of that very person, that means the world to them. Might embarrass them a little bit, but in their heart, they know how special that is. So we need to do that. But isn't it interesting on the other side of that, that sometimes it's very easy to say something very negative about somebody, and we would never make that statement if they were in our presence. I think that's called gossip. So it makes a difference in the way we think and the way we talk and the way we act if we are aware of the presence of God, Emmanuel. So I asked myself the question, would it make a difference if God's presence was visible to me all the time? Would it make a difference in the way I think and drive and spend and what I look at and what I listen, what I touch? Would it make a difference if God's presence was visible? So I got kind of practical. Usually when I come down to the campus, it's early enough in the morning that there's hardly any traffic. And there's a very ridiculous long light coming out of Fairview Village, crossing 223rd. And I sit there waiting, and there isn't a car in sight in all directions. And I admit to you, I haven't done it, but I admit to you, the thought goes through my mind, wouldn't it be just in the interest of making good use of time to slip on a cross? I'm absolutely positive that if I did that, there's some way that an officer would know that. And I know it would be an officer that I know personally, and they would find great joy in pulling me over. So then I thought, so I haven't done it. I do a lot of other stupid things when I'm driving, but I haven't done that. So I thought about, what if, as I'm sitting there, a policeman was riding with me? And I don't know why they'd ever want to do that either. Would the thought even go through my mind to go through that red light? Not a chance. There's something about the personal presence of someone that we respect that makes a difference in our decisions. Isn't that true? And so God with us for followers of Jesus is a reality. Because at salvation, according to the rest of the New Testament, words of Jesus followed by teachings in the epistles, when we, as Romans 10 says, when we believe in our heart that Jesus is God, and with our mouth vocalize that he's my Savior, we are welcomed into the family of God, sealed there forever. We are declared righteous. And in that instant, God moves into with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. We experience Emmanuel in that instant. And the Spirit of God joins up with our spirit, and he does life in this body until he decides it's time for this body to stay behind and join together with our spirit. God takes us forever into his secure presence. And we experience the ultimate of God with us. And so, with tomorrow's challenges, I probably will deal with life more wholly and more carefully if I am aware mentally and emotionally that I have God with me. We're joined. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to allow us to experience God, Creator God, with us. So whatever relationship we think of that we would like to have with somebody important or famous or wonderful, and how special it is to communicate and do life with them, great as it is, it doesn't begin to compare with doing life together with Creator God. And isn't it interesting that all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the first two people that God made, from whom we're all descendants, He obviously made them special and eternal, because as amazing as all of the rest of the creation was, there wasn't someone that would be able to be in a relationship with Him. He wants to be with us. He wants to be with us as His children, even when we do sinful, stupid things. He doesn't want us to run and hide. He wants to enjoy that relationship with us. And He says, just confess it, admit it, and I'll continue to cleanse you. That's why we do communion. God with us. His name will be Jesus. His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's the Christmas story. And isn't it interesting and sad that the majority of humans on planet Earth, all down through history, and on this day, December 2nd, 2018, the majority of the people are saying, no, God, I don't want you to be with me. I want to do it my way. But all who believe and accept know something that you can't know in any other way. We know what it's like to experience God with us. And you can't really put it into words. You just know that it's true. The Spirit of God reveals that to us. And so, Father, today, as we're going to sing a song and then move into communion, we really want to reflect on what it means to enjoy your presence. Jesus is truly God, and He came and dwelt among us, among humans. And John says that they beheld His glory, amazing grace and truth. And so, first of all, during communion, we're just going to pause today and thank you for wanting to be with us. And then we're going to thank you for giving us the faith to accept and believe and trust and welcome you into our life. And then we're probably going to admit some things that don't measure up to your holiness. And we're going to thank you for continuing to clean us, cleanse us. And then we're going to utter a quiet prayer. Dear Father, help us to respond in a way that continually remembers that you are with us. We don't see your presence, but we know you're here in our life. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that has never believed in Jesus, thank you for giving them the faith today to believe. Maybe something makes sense to them today that they say, ah, I understand. God, come into my life. Be with me. I believe that Jesus is God, my Savior. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.